Let's check out the teams.
It's a Monday, and time to take a look back with Falcons Monday.
Falcons Monday is presented by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Woo! Bring them out.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com and get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. About five or six more outings by Kirk Cousins like that, he'll be calling Mark Spain.
We can go down that route all day. Let me tell you something right now, and I was talking to some guys on the socials. There's at least three names that will be ahead of him on the way out of town before he's
right
financially, before he's
it's Nathan Peterman time. That's all we
do. Yeah. It feels like what we saw at time yesterday.
All right, let's go to Tinker Taylor, Soldier Spy up in Kennesaw. Good morning, Tink.
What up, Tink?
Good morning.
What's up?
Hey, I got two, and I'll be quick about it. First, with the Falcons, nothing can simulate true game speed and game situations. Even if you only play a series of two during the preseason, it showed. And what is the point of being healthy if you're just going to suck? And my second one is to the new guy in our fantasy league, flipping lip all week. Let's just say I took that boy out to the woodshed. Y'all be good.
What's the point of being healthy if you're going to suck?
There's nothing better than the new guy in the fantasy league getting his butt whooped, isn't there? Like, yeah.
Coming in all mouthy.
Yeah, mouthy, just the gets hubris. Smoked.
That's pretty funny. There's nothing like being very visibly and verbally upset about your team losing, but at least your fantasy team took it to the new guy.
All right, let's go up to Ackworth and Lake Allatoona and Paul. What's going on, Paul?
Good morning, gentlemen.
What's Paul?
Up, hey, I'm originally from Pittsburgh. I've been down here about 15 years now. I do enjoy watching the Falcons. Yesterday was kind of torn game for me. But for the callers on Friday who kept saying that Kirk was going to throw for 400 yards against Pittsburgh's defense, kind of delusional there. Pittsburgh's got a pretty solid defense. The good news is that Atlanta's not going to see anybody near the caliber of T.J. Watt for the rest of the year, pretty much. The preseason thing, you can hound on it like Mike was saying. I'm glad you brought up the Kyle Pitts thing, Mike. He's soft. He's nowhere near the player he was in college. And that's all I got to say. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
Two things. Don't underestimate how good Alex Highsmith is on the other side. That guy's had double-digit sacks in a season as well. I think he had 14 a couple years ago. I would also tell you that Kyle Pitts did not block much in college either.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say that he's not the same player.
Blocking. He's talking about blocking.
But he was never a good blocker in college. Just to clear the record, but he has not been the receiver the last 2 years that he was in college. I'll agree with that.
Well, I do want to point this out. And just to be clear, Paul, we had one caller that said 400 yards for Kirk Cousins,
yeah,
and we all kind of gassed. And
No.
Because this is a top five unit, in my opinion, defensively, and you were that guy. You were that team last year. Covered it during the pregame yesterday. In terms of 10-play drives, I think this was the best team in the NFL. And then you went and added an all-pro caliber linebacker in Patrick Queen from Baltimore. So, yeah, I mean, you have some really good players. It's a really good defense. I don't know. I mean, I'm with you. I don't think they'll face anybody the caliber of T.J. Watt. You might face better defensive units as a whole. But, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. That is the good – that's the sigh of relief.
Well, I think you hit on your draft pick with Peyton Wilson, too, that dude.
Yeah, he was very good.
He was a beast in college, and he was very good yesterday.
But, I mean, Minka Fitzpatrick, Joey Porter
All
Jr.,
pro.
Alex Highsmith, Patrick Queen, T.J. Watt, Cameron Hayward, Benton is a hell of a player. Ogunjobi is a very good player.
Just to be clear, that's not to excuse anything we saw offensively. And I know you're not trying to.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I'm actually backing up Paul's point.
Yeah,
that,
Paul.
That and he said they're good. I think he's wrong. I think they're a great defense. I think they're a top 10 defense easily in the NFL. And, in fact, last year they were that. I mean, they were the sixth best scoring defense in football last year. So
Russell Wilson starts next week. He didn't lose his gig yesterday.
No, if he's healthy.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. There are right tackles and tight ends who can chip and block T.J. Watt effectively at times. You're not going to be able to score six field goals every week and beat teams in the NFL. It happened, but I don't think it's a week in, week out thing.
All right, let's go to Mike. Mike is on the bluff. What bluff are you on? Don't jump.
I'm from the bluff. I'm from the A.
All right,
guys. What's up, guys?
What's up, man?
Squid. Check it out, man. I want to become a member of Squid Nation, and I want to say friends don't let friends join the mafia.
My man.
Whoa.
Hey, don't you mess with him. Don't you mess with Mike from the bluff.
What in God's name are we doing here? Calm down.
Mike, proceed with your call, sir.
Yo, I went to the game, and Mike, just like you, I went back home and watched the film, and then I watched the Rams, and it's the same exact offense. People need to make sure we don't jump off the ledge too early. And it's true, Kirk Cousins should have played preseason. It's the timing. All the timing was off. But who's going to be our Cooper Kupp? Now, when it comes to Kyle Pitts, we got to learn how to lather him up and get him ready for the game. He's not a blocker. Squish, you're exactly right. He never did that in college. You got to get him in the game. The offense that I'm looking at, the Rams, they have no one like Kyle Pitts. We got to find a way to get him involved early to keep him engaged. I'm happy that the defense did what they did. I don't think we're going to face anyone that looks like the Steelers defense. Yeah, there's some big boys in Philly, but them big boys going to get tired. I love what I saw. The sky's not falling. I'm very optimistic. We held them to field goals. Yeah, that's not going to happen all the time. But the defense looked good. We moved the ball up and down the field. We got to get a way to get Kyle Pitts involved. I'm out.
Yeah. All right, Mike, well, be careful what you wish for. The humiliating initiation ritual that you have to go through to be in part of Squid Nation.
Yeah. End of the
I was
call.
A nobody before walk. I joined the nation.
You know, y'all are so hateful, both of you. Both of you. Both this is where you want to be? This is where you would be when Jesus comes back, making fun of Squid Nation? I don't think so.
Oh, wow. Jesus is a member of the mafia.
that's our star player.
not a bust in the draft. All right, let's go to Meat in Atlanta. What up, Meat?
All right, what's up, Rob? Man, I want to give my man Rob some love, man.
Yes,
I want
sir.
To be the honorary founder of Rob's Rejects.
Rob's Rejects, yes. I'll take it.
Hey,
yes, sir.
Beef.
Yes, sir.
Beef, I got a question for you.
Awesome. What a great name.
Beef, I got a question for you. How did you get your nickname?
I don't know. It's something that came from my grandmother just always called me since a kid. But for my the wake-up call is for my Falcon fans. Don't be discouraged or dismayed. The defense played tremendous. They gave up 6 field goals. That's not going to happen every – that's not – people are not going to beat you with 6 field goals every week. So do not be discouraged. We're still going to win 11 games. I'm out.
Fear not.
Dude,
the founding member of
right
Rob's
now.
Rejects
yeah.
has spoken.
I love
I'm
it.
All that's about
a,
this right
that
now.
Is that is great. I'm gonna have to make the Squidbilly t-shirt collection is gonna have to have a new shirt. It's going to be a Rob's Rejects.
I'll be honest, I did not foresee that we would have any callers that would have a more positive outlook than what I'm having right now.
Right.
But yeah, that's exactly the good
well,
vibes I'm getting. Some shout out to them.
They must be Twitterless, Mike.
Well, I think that's no doubt about that. No doubt about that. They got off there a long time ago.
All right, let's go down to College Park, where most of my family is buried. College Park Cemetery, by the way. And James, good morning, James.
Thanks for that.
I don't know.
Hey, good morning. I just want to say two things. One, is there a reason why Kirk wasn't trying to, you know, come out, you know, like the single back right by? He just stayed in, like, almost shotgun pistol all game. And two, what's going on with the Red Zone scoring, man? Hashtag Big Squid Billy Nation.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh,
what's right.
going on?
Well, luckily, I think you're one of two, right, Mike? That Pitts touchdown was
Yeah, that was right there at the end.
The
you
zone.
Set up with a field goal on the first drive. I don't know that you got in the red zone in the second half, did you?
No, you did not.
So,
do the reads.
And James, I think, listen, that's a conversation we've been trying to kind of cross the threshold of all day, is the reason. Because there's two options here, and I'll kind of rehash this for anybody that's just now tuning in. There's two options here. A, number one, Kirk is still healthy, and Zach Robinson's game plan was bad. Or Zach Robinson's game plan was trying to take care of Kirk Cousins' legs and did not want to use him at all in the bootleg, the play action, any of the other stuff where he had to actually be mobile.
Where was Tyler Allgeier yesterday? Only 3 carries.
Only just ripping off maximum gains on the 3
yeah.
that he had.
Yeah.
Just frustrating.
They had some multiple back sets throughout the game. Probably maybe I want to say around 7 to 10, but he only got 3 carries. Here's the thing for me about the bootleg talk. I understand that being it going in, saying, look, I don't want to put Kirk out there in a tough situation. First game back with TJ Watt out there. But after every time you saw the how after that first drive, TJ Watt was just viciously crashing that run game, at what point do you go, let's do a little play action here, boot, and get it out to maybe a Kyle Pitts out there and just let him eat? That's just the baffling part of it.
Correct. And we talked earlier when we did the breakdown, ESPN Stats and Info had the breakdown, shotgun, pistol, whatever it may be. The fact that you were, 83% run out of pistol and did not boot out of pistol. You can boot out of pistol. That's why won't you under center? You can boot out of pistol. You can. They chose not
look.
To.
Give him a different look.
I don't understand. But I think a lot of the conversation, Rob, is, hey, you don't put him under because you don't want him to have to, fake the handoff and take the drops. You put him under the center because, Kirk's Achilles. You can still boot out of pistol. It still happens. People do it all the time, yet we chose not to at all, period, yesterday.
You can play action and a shotgun. I saw Tim Tebow do it all the time. He would play action himself.
Well, it's hard. I'll say this. It's hard to run wide. It's hard to run wide zone out of shotgun in the NFL. That's one of the big things. But you can. The reason you get into pistol is to run wide zone. That's exactly what you saw yesterday.
Hey, what are you doing on Wednesday, October 2nd at 7:30? Well, if you're fifth caller, 404-726-0929, you'll be going to see Atlanta United take on Montreal Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Fifth caller, the game is October 2nd at Mercedes-Benz, 7:30 p.m. Coming up next, you'll talk to my man, one of my favorite Falcons of all time. That would be number 16, David Archer. Coming up next.
Yes, it is a lovely morning, isn't it?
Now, more of The Morning Shift. The Morning Shift is brought to you by Greater Atlanta Erie McDonald's. Download the app for great deals.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to The Morning Shift. Triple in for Tiffany. 18-10 the final. Of course, yesterday, Falcons getting ready to head up to Philadelphia. Take on the Eagles and that troglodyte fan base there. Let's go out to David Archer. Arch, good morning, sir.
How are you, buddy?
Man, make me feel a little bit better about yesterday. I was so disappointed. I saw some good things as well, but ease the concerns of this fan base, can you?
Wow, it's going to be a stretch. I know you guys have been working on that all morning. I would say you're better your second week than you are your first week. There's not a lot of things to hang
wow.
out on. I mean, really. You want me to talk, Bo, or do you want to gab some more? Go ahead, Bo. You go ahead and talk.
Hey, you know what? Don't get an attitude of me because you're upset about yesterday. That's what I got when I got home last night.
Yeah, it was a tough outing. I thought that they came out of the blocks pretty good. I thought that the big question was, and I know Mike and we talked about it in the pregame show. You don't really know what you got because they didn't play in the preseason. And I know there was a lot of emphasis put on what they did in practice. But, let's face it, practice is what we call thud tempo, where you come off, you collision, and then you ease off. And so these were situations where you're going to have to block a guy for 4 seconds, or you're going to have to come off the ball and sustain something for a longer period of time. You're going to have to get yourself up off the ground and do it again over and over again. And that's the part that's different in a game that's in practice. And I thought that there were some really good things early on. I thought the opening drive Atlanta put together, there was a lot of diversity in the drive. I thought there was a lot of variation from formations and this and that. But as you moved on, there wasn't a lot of change from the opening drive to the end of the game as far as keeping Pittsburgh off balance. But I thought it was a tale of two halves. Atlanta really was solid in the first half, and in the second half, they were non-existent on offense. I think if you count the penalties, they ran 21 plays for 26 yards. And I know Mike, I heard Mike on the postgame show talking about some of the stats and statistics that came out about shotgun snaps and pistol snaps and those kind of things. Those things, you're not going to be able to get a track on those probably during a game. Now, Philly has a track on them right now, and so there's going to have to be a huge changeup for Zach to self-scout and make sure that you're not locked into with what you're going to be doing, so Philly can just lock into everything you're doing.
Well, too, and Arch, I want to that's what I want to dive into, and I've made the kind of argument all day that there's a lot of concern about Caleb McGarry and Kirk Cousins, but there's more concern for me about Zach Robinson. And I don't know that he was protecting Kirk Cousins' Achilles or what it is, but when you look at what Kirk Cousins has been in his career, the fact that there was not one play-action pass run yesterday, to me, is the most concerning stat we have. No bootlegs, no nothing like that, just literally sitting back in the pocket and allowing T.J. Watt to kind of tee off. What did you make of that? What did you make of the game plan yesterday, and what do you think can change moving forward?
Yeah, I thought that some of it had to do with, you know, kind of based on what they thought they were going to get from an on-tape standpoint, that they kind of geared this game plan to taking advantage of what they saw from the Steelers. Now, certainly neutralizing the two edge guys were paramount. You and I talked about that in the pregame, about, you know, what are you going to do with Highsmith and T.J. Watt to make sure they don't control the football game. I thought that and I commented during the game that Watt was closing off of the backside. He was completely disregarding anything coming back at him when he was coming off the backside, meaning he was just closing at a really flat angle. He made a number of plays in the run game from just closing down the line of scrimmage and really only getting upfield maybe one or two steps and then down the line. And so the only way you counteract that is to bootleg out of it or have something coming back the other direction. We didn't do any of that, and so that was a little disconcerting there. Obviously, the continuance of letting McGarry on an open end. Now, we tried to get to it late and tried to chip block a little bit late. I know you talked about that a little bit, Mike, during the week. Chip block him going releasing guys in that area. So we got to it late, but it was at that point. I think things were flustered. Kurt, for me. I thought that Kurt, the pressure, and that's where he's supposed to thrive. He's thrived for his entire career in the pressure situation. I think there was some rustiness to him. I don't think there's any question about it. I think as much as you'd like to say that you felt good about the practices and all those kind of things, I don't think there's an issue with the injury. I don't think he was protecting him on the bootleg to try to make sure he didn't tear his Achilles tendon. He was going to have to move violently in the pocket anyway to avoid people. I thought he did some of that. I thought that if you looked in the opening in the first half, and even in the drive where they threw the touchdown to Kyle, which was in the first half, his movement in the pocket was excellent. I thought he did a really good job. But that pocket began to shrink, and some of it had to do with that you weren't threatening those guys and you didn't reduce them physically like we talked about in the run game.
Former Falcons quarterback, current Falcons radio analyst Dave Archer joining the show. Look, Arch, we can talk about all the what wasn't on offense, but let's talk about what was with the defense. What stood out to you yesterday for the Falcons' defensive effort against the Steelers?
Well, I was a little – I thought that the rotations were pretty good. I thought that they tried to keep fresh bodies on the field. That was something they did. You know, they kept all those guys on the defensive line for a reason. They wanted to rotate guys. We knew that in the first game of the year, especially with them not playing in games and how the game shape scenario, if you will, I'm using the air quotes on game shape. I talked about the physicality of the game and how much you got to keep picking yourself up off the ground and get lined up and you got to play for 4 or 5 seconds of a play. That's not what you're doing in practice. So that was going to take its toll. Plus the adrenaline flowing, that was going to be an energy sapper. And so I thought they did a really good job of rotating guys and keeping guys fresh on the field. I was a little disappointed that in the second half, Pittsburgh was able to get some foothold in the run game. They were able to kind of run in the interior a little bit. Some of that, most of that was, I think a lot of it was against the second unit. But as far as the organization of the defense, I thought that they kept Philly or kept Pittsburgh at bay for the most part. They didn't let I know that the quarterback run game was a big concern. I thought that Fields did a few things, maybe extended a couple of drives with a couple of scraps, but he didn't break you down in the run game. He made two plays in the pass game. Both of them were to George Pickens. So I thought that the defense, you know, held the rope. I kept talking about it. They're holding on the rope. There were a number of times where you've talked about it, where they forced long field goals. Or five of the six were long field goals. So as far as defense goes, they did about as much as they could, especially being on the field for 35 minutes. And I thought it began to take its toll. I don't know how you felt about it, Mike, but I felt like they got really – I thought they got fatigued late in the game in the fourth quarter. I thought they were having a tough time. They were trying to rotate people a lot more. It was almost like hockey line shifts. All of a sudden, the line shifts for 30 seconds instead of a minute. It was – you were trying to keep fresh bodies on the field But you allowed them to stay in manageable third down situations. I think that's probably the most disturbing thing for me on them, is they didn't give up a lot of big plays. It was just that they allowed them to kind of possess the football and stay on the field. And that's probably the biggest thing Jimmy Lake will probably make adjustments to.
Yeah, they had some of those week one lungs, we used to call them, Arch. You know what I mean? Those lungs haven't quite filled up the way they will down the stretch run when you get there. So, I guess my question, Arch, now is, and we can talk about the game plan, the play actions, and the bootlegs, and keeping them off balance. What do you do heading towards Monday night against a Philly defense that's pretty good in their own right in the front seven?
Yeah, I think that the thing that you get concerned about a little bit, and I heard you talk a little bit about McGarry. I was a little concerned about some interior pressure, Mike, in the game. We had talked about this in the offseason, you know, with how Drew was going to be able to stand up in there. Was that going to be an area they might address in the draft? Is that an area they might address in free agency? I thought he had some problems with some of those guys in the interior. Well, that doesn't get any easier. You know, Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter are going to be problems on the interior. And if you've got a guy that doesn't move around very much, like Kirk doesn't, or certainly didn't in this game, interior pressure is going to be a nightmare. I think Kirk will be better. I think that the offensive line, I mean, you get a game under your belt having not played in the preseason. I think they'll be better as a group. I think they have a little bit more of an idea of what they have, as much as you'd like to have known that prior to going into the game. But you're right. Philly's not going to be any easy task. And you could argue that Philly is as good, if not better, than Pittsburgh is on defense. I think that probably Philly's strength is in the interior and in their secondary, and Pittsburgh was maybe on the edge and in their secondary. So there's not a lot of difference here. The problem is you might get stressed more by Philly's offense. Philly has a lot more weapons on offense with Saquon Barkley and the way he played the first week, and then a core of receivers. This was a nondescript core of receivers you played this weekend. You know, George Pickens was really the only guy. Freiermuth, the tight end, a solid player. But now you're going to get three legitimate big-time receivers with Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, and Johan Dotson. And then you throw in the tight end with Barkley catching the ball in the backfield. This is going to be a real task, and this will be a real test for the defense for Atlanta. So Atlanta's offense is going to have to pick it up a great deal to take some of that pressure off. They're not going to be able to play 35 minutes in this game. This game will get out of hand.
Well, thanks for making me feel worse, Arch, but at least your Cyclones got a win this weekend. And a good buddy of mine actually went to Iowa State, so, yep.
Well, they did some punching this weekend, and there was some punching there late. How about that?
Yes, sir. All right, Arch. Let's hope for a corrective emotional experience in Philadelphia next Monday night. Thank you, brother.
Yeah, sorry I didn't take you off the ledge there, but, hey, we got to take this seriously and get after it. I think they'll be better this week, but it's going to be a tall task.
I have pills on the ledge with me, so it's gotten even worse, but thank you. All right. What's coming up next in the life of Squid?
Well, I think Jason Garrett proved he's in Squid Nation, and we'll get a little recap of what happened in the first week of the playoffs in NASCAR at Atlanta Motor Speedway. All next on the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 929 The Game, and
the Odyssey app.
That's right.
More than just sports talk, this is The Morning Shift.
I'm in. Me too.
The Morning Shift is brought to you by Greater Atlanta Area McDonald's. Download the app for great deals.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to The Morning Shift. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain. Go to markspain.com, get to packing, he'll sell that damn house for you. Braves and Reds tonight, a makeup game. Then they have to go to Washington to take on the Nationals. The Doyers come into town starting on September 13th. Gentlemen, Braves in a tie for the wild card with the Mets after that victory yesterday. So just get in the tournament, right?
Yeah, that four-game set against the Dodgers this weekend. And then that three-game set with the Mets at home in late September.
Starting
all
on the 24th.
Large.
Yep.
Yeah.
Looming large. Well, so does let's get to your thing, shall we?
Yeah, the life of Squid's always looming large because I'm the star.
It's time for a look back
into the mind of Squid Billy.
Hey, he might even talk sports.
This is the life of Squid on the Morning Shift.
Brought to you by the W Sauce and Status Truck and Trailer Repair. Driven by excellence, building successful partnerships.
Kind of like the way the voice lady says my name, Squid Billy. I like that.
That's weird.
All right, W Sauce, Breakfast Sauce, Breakfast Sauce 2, Bloody Mary Mix, Key West style. Get up WSauce.com, find your bottle today. And my friends at Status Truck and Trailer Repair, big truck, small truck, medium-sized truck. It
El Camino.
Doesn't matter. El Camino. It don't matter.
Conversion van. Doesn't matter.
I think that's the type of truck. can be. Depending on where you're from. Anyways.
Ice cream truck. I know the Squid's got one of those ice cream trucks. So
the creepy old beat up white van.
Yeah, the ones with the faded stickers on the
side. Still in circulation.
Yeah.
Free puppies.
Those don't scream John Wayne Gacy. Anyways, get her my friends at Status Truck and Trailer Repair. Call my boy Anthony today. The official truck and trailer repair of
We Are the Nation!
Squid Nation.
Rob's Rejects, by the way, debuted today, didn't it? Send in your mugshot and your poor credit score.
Yeah.
And you'll be strongly considered for membership.
I think for the t-shirt design, like your logo will have like bars.
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah. Just a mugshot.
If your credit score is not under 520, you are not eligible.
Have you lost your job recently? You're qualified for Rob's Rechecks.
Living in your car.
Yeah. All right. Anyways. So I think we've got a new member of Squid Nation. I think Jason Garrett is officially on the Squid Nation train.
Well, remember if he becomes a part of it, you can't fire him. It takes forever, so hopefully he's solid.
Well, I'm not Jerry Jones. I'll fire him quickly if I need to. He would be the second redhead. Behind Drew Butler in there. But that being said, he had some thoughts after Dak Prescott signed that just monster contract, now the highest paid player in the NFL, right before the game started yesterday, or the slate was to kick off because they were the 4 o'clock game. He had some very strong-worded thoughts or words for the Dak Prescott haters.
But back to Dak, he just plays the game at a high level. I hear these clowns on TV say he's overrated, he's not in the top 10. Watch the game. Yeah. He's an incredible football player, great leader for that team.
We are not the clowns on TV.
That's not us.
Yeah, there's some clowns on radio that say the same thing, Jason, so you just don't limit to TV.
I was going to say, just replace TV with Twitter. And I feel like that, yeah, you're right, he might be a member of Squid Nation.
I mean, when I heard it, I go, I feel like I wrote it for him. Although I would have put a three-letter word in front of
a lot of credit.
I would have put a three-letter word in front of clowns.
Okay.
You can think about
it. Yeah, I got you.
It'll make sense to you. But I agree with his take wholeheartedly. Dak Prescott is a top 10 quarterback. If you hate on Dak Prescott, then there's probably something wrong with your football acumen because you don't have it. He's a very good player. You cannot blame the entirety of the failures of that franchise on Dak Prescott. He deserves the money.
Agreed.
If you're going to pay the Joe Burrows of the world who can go out and lay eggs, and just like Dak had, Deshaun Watson still has gotten more guaranteed money and has done way less, and has a bigger rap sheet than Dak Prescott does. So, you know, I less
Dak
suspensions.
Has no rap sheet.
Well, my point's proven. Lander Motor Speedway yesterday was the home of the start of the playoffs. And that track, Mike, as you well know, we've been there, we've been on it, we've been in cars on that track, we've been to races at that track with a new setup. It does not disappoint.
Yeah, it's pretty grippy these days.
You know, it's funny, is we had Joey Logano on the show. You told Joey Logano how the track had kind of gotten with a little bit more grip, that the asphalt had kind of gotten chewed up a little bit.
I said, look, Logano, I said, we're me and Bo are some of the few people that have actually been on there recently. We were on there 2 weeks ago for the NASCAR experience. Shout out to Atlanta Motor Speedway and Brandon Hutchinson. And I said, look, here's some insight. It's grayed up a little bit. It's pretty grippy. And he said, okay, that's good to know, man. I'm glad you let me know that.
Did Joey Logano listen to Mike Johnson? Let's find out.
Logano gets another little shove from Ryan Blaney. And the two Penske's clear Suarez. But Daniel's not giving up. It's Joey Logano clearly out in front. But is there a late run? Remember how this finished. Chastain into the wall, but he's able to keep it going. Has Suarez got something special like he did in February? They're crashing into the wall. Porsche comes out of the check Becker. They're flying everywhere and Hamlin is involved. Joey Logano prevails in this first playoff race. His crew chief Paul Wolf told us he's a big time, big pressure racer and he delivers.
I like the Brit play-by-play.
You like that?
I love
it. Sound kind of cool.
Big time, yeah.
If Jason Garrett is a member of the Squid Squad, then I think that Joey Logano is probably a member of the Mafia, if I'm being quite honest here. So we'll go tit for tat there.
I want to thank the 22 car for being very, very fun and being a good sport in the interview, but you can have him. I will stick to the 12 car in Penske. I don't need that 22.
What driver's a reject then? Who's a miscreant that might?
You can have Austin Cindric. He's got Rob's rejects written all over it.
And, that's not true.
But a great.
Definitely Corey LaJoy. He's still looking for a ride.
Well, I think Austin Dillon might be in there. I mean, you gotta potentially injure people to win races. But
I do want to say too, Joey Logano in his post race presser yesterday was talking about, and I can't remember the exact number he used, but you know the Terra condos right there in Turn 4 at Atlanta Motor Speedway. He was like, you know, I lived in one of those condos for a while. He was like, I mean, this place is special to me. He was like, you know, condo number 708. I can't remember the exact number. It was 807 or 705 or something like that. And I thought that was so cool, man. So he was giving a massive shout out to Atlanta Motor Speedway. But what a great race. It's the hottest ticket on the circuit down there for NASCAR. And, you know, they continue to do good things.
It's cool. It was cool to see. I love seeing the good finishes. I got home and was able to watch the last probably 30 or so laps. And the racing was just amazing nonstop. I tell you what, Mike, I don't know if you get to see it, but the way they're pushing each other there, they have put the word bump back in bump drafting.
Yeah.
Because they are full-fledged shoving you.
Yeah, yeah, they definitely are. It's a little bit nerve-wracking if your guys are getting shoved, but it's a good stuff. It's a good product. It's action-packed, man.
All right, my girl just texted me. Actually, Rob's Rebellion. Not Rob's Reject. Rebellion.
No.
Yes. Rebellion.
No, don't let her talk yet.
Reject sounds so much better. It's got that triple flair. Rebellion just sounds like an overused phrase these days. Oh, everybody's got a Rebellion.
Rejects it is. Sorry, babe. Huntley from Covington won the Atlanta United ticket, so congrats, Huntley. Enjoy your night out at Mercedes-Benz Stadium when Atlanta takes on Montreal. All right, going to come back, hand off to the Steakhouse. Got Drew Butler in with a steak. That's coming up next. This has been The Morning Shift, Sports Radio 929 The Game.